In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part. But poor as I am, I will give to him my heart. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. This baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah.
He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
What love, my God, would bring you down to earth? What king would take a low and lonely birth? Yet to this dark and broken place you came, to sleep beneath the stars that you had made. What love, to walk the road rejected and despised, that you might know the weakness I possess, and be my rock of strength and righteousness. Oh, your love, my God, like a flood, has heaven opened up, pouring out on us. Oh, praise the King who came.
to die. Oh, you love my God like a flood. Has heaven opened up, pouring out on us? Oh, praise the King who came to the world in his love like a mighty flood. One love, my God, so gracious and extreme, was strong enough to come and fight for me, to go through hell and down into the grave, and raise me up to see you face to face. You raise me up to see you face to face. Oh, you love my God like a flood. Has heaven opened up, pouring out on us? Oh, praise the King who came to the world in his love like a mighty flood. Oh, your love like a mighty flood.
Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Isn't that nice to hear for those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ? When I reminisce through the years of my Christian life, this is one thing that always had me optimistic, that Jesus could come at any moment. And the Bible teaches we should look for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the question is, when will he come? You know, it's beginning to wonder. Jesus is now 2,000 years since he's been here on earth. So it seems like to him, when he says he'll come quickly, his quickly is a little different from ours idea of quickly. Anyways, today I'll preach a little bit on a Christmas message and how these things work and what God is trying to convey to us. But before I do that, I'll give you a little bit of update on what is happening. For those of you who are listening by radio, we have been it was brought to my attention that I shouldn't spread any conspiracy theories, that we need to be careful. So of course they have the power to shut me down like they did once before years ago if I keep on doing it. So I want you guys who are listening to radio, we got www.reachingoutministries.com. That's our website. That's the safest place because they can even shut down YouTube. So what are we hearing? It's kind of quiet the last couple of days, but things are rocking. The Chinese are a little more involved in the Democrat Party in the States than we know about. And it's not only the Democrat Party, it's also in the Republican Party. It's unbelievable what's starting to come out. We need to pay attention. God wants us to understand that the evil that wants to encroach the one world government, the globalists, whether it's through China or the Rockefellers or whatever it is, they'll come and take the Western world. We, the church, have been given the power, the authority to keep back the evil. And if I remember correctly, I read the end of the book, and that's exactly what the church did. It kept back the evil. Then was the wicked one revealed once the restrainer was removed. So that's a very comforting thought here. So what will happen in the next couple of days? I think, will maybe shake the world. But I believe what will happen when this climaxes is what will shake everybody to the core, because God has something in store for us. He specifically told me, and I heard him say, that Haman, that Esther brought the hammer down on Haman, on the second banquet. So the question is, what's the second banquet? I think the first one was when the Supreme Court all of a sudden didn't take that Texas court case they had. So it's interesting how things are unfolding. The question is, how many rhinos do we have in the Republican Party? Can we even trust January the 6th? That's my question already. Let's say even Mike Pence, what makes us so sure that he is on the level? We don't know. I wish I would be sure. From what I see of him, he looks good, he sounds good, he seems to be a Christian, he's against abortion, he's definitely on the up and up. But are we going to get any more surprises? We surely did get a few in the last couple of weeks. So whatever God has in store, it's going to shock the nations of the world. So we're going to see how this is all going to turn out. You know what? When I hear a prophecy that God is going to do it and not man, that makes me excited, because I want to know what he's going to do. When I study the spiritual, he always leaves a question. How is he going to perform that? In the natural, we see how it is. We see it coming from afar. But in the spiritual, we don't know. He always keeps that surprise. So God is going to give us something interesting in the next few weeks or days. So let the Lord just keep you at peace, keep you calm. He's in control, and he has determined the outcome already, because the church has prevailed to keep back that evil. Hallelujah. And the reason I know the church has prevailed, we're still here. We're not gone yet. Hallelujah. For those of you who don't believe in the rapture, you need to start thinking. God has salt on the earth, and the salt has to be removed before the deterioration can start destroying this planet, and it'll only take 7 years. Okay, now for my message, a Christmas message. It's a good one. Anyways, I think so. But before I get into this message, I'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, that you're our God. We can depend on you. We will never be ashamed, because you are the one that is in control of everything. So, Lord, you will make us a blessing to those around you. Let this message be a blessing and an inspiration to those who are listening and watching through the internet. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 8, that is my favorite part of the whole Christmas message. I know Jesus was born, that's the most favorite part, but when the angels came to the shepherds, listen to this, in Luke chapter 2 in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Hallelujah. So the shepherds didn't expect that. They were there just like any other day. And then all of a sudden, things happened. The angel started singing. It says here, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and goodwill towards men. That is very, very comforting. God is definitely, he wants to give us peace. He wants to show us the peace. But where does the peace come from? Many people think that peace comes from some government official, and God can do that. But peace is in the heart. When you find Jesus, that's where the peace is, because the kingdom of God is within you. And we, when we have the kingdom of God within us, we can also bring the kingdom of God around us. For those of us who have peace in our hearts, know and are sure that God is in control. He is the God of the universe. And by his grace, we will stand. So the peace that passes all understanding has come because of that little baby Jesus in the manger. And we are the recipients through it, through the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood for us. And that's where the peace comes from. But alas, the problem that comes with that peace, it also brings a sword, a division, even between house, between mother and father, kids and parents. There's a division there. There's not just the inner peace, there's also the outer turmoil. And believe you me, I've experienced this in my life. I know what it's talking about. When the Bible says, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. The peace that the Word of God talks about is an inward peace. So I'm questioning you listening through the internet. Do you have that inward peace? Are you at peace that God will see us through, regardless what happened? Are you at peace that God's will be done? I am. That's why I'm not worried. I'm watching the whole thing play out in the physical because I already know how it's done in the spiritual. So it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Let's talk a little bit about those who are foolish, those who do not see this Christ child as the Savior of the world. Those who think it's foolishness. When a person rejects this God, rejects this way of salvation, something happens to him. Automatically, degeneration starts to happen in his spirit, in his mind, because there is a lack of godliness there. And as he gets older, he becomes more and more foolish. The fool sees in his heart, there is no God. And once that foolishness starts to bring forth fruit, you start to see the foolish plans that people have. You see the governments of this world, their foolish laws, rules, and regulations. You can sometimes see the foolishness in the people that execute these laws. Trying to arrest a hockey player from playing hockey, that's total foolishness. That's completely out. That police should be arrested, as far as I'm concerned. But that's how foolish the world has become. So it'll not get any better for those people if they don't turn to Christ. It'll become more and more foolish. And they're going down a path of darkness towards there is no light. And that's how their end will be. No light, utter darkness, and turmoil for the rest of eternity. The eternal lake of fire is made for the devil and his angels and those who will line up with them, who will agree with them. But how about us? We believe in that foolish preaching. Hallelujah. This is where our power is. We don't realize it at first when we become Christians, But after a while, the Lord, if we pursue the word, the Bible teaches us something. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And what shall set you free? The truth shall set you free. It'll show you how things work. So when we receive this Jesus as our Savior, then God starts to open our mind if we allow him. Well, when you go on YouTube, you can see a lot of foolish Christians on there. It's beyond my belief how dead their spirits are, because they have absolutely no discerning spirit whatsoever. For instance, we hear of preachers down in America endorsing Joe Biden. Now, why would they endorse a president or a person that is for killing babies, that is for homosexuality, that is for bringing in laws that will maybe close down the churches, that is for defunding the police? How can a person who calls himself a Christian and a pastor vote for a person like that? To me, that's unconceivable. I cannot grasp it. But maybe God understands them. I hope he does. Because in my opinion, they do not qualify for the kingdom of God. Because if their discerning spirit is that low, they don't even have one. There is no spirit there. So here is what it says. It's foolishness to them. And they will go down that foolish path. Then it tells us we're going to, when the Bible teaches us, once we have this God, then all of a sudden our hearts and our eyes open to what God has in store for us. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, listen to this. It shall come to pass in the last days. We're there. Hallelujah. We are that generation, saith God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in these days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. They shall. God showed me a vision. God shows me dreams. You dream of things that God wants to show you. I've been hearing many testimonies in countries where the gospel is not allowed to be preached. God himself shows up in dreams and visions and tells these people about the salvation that is available to them. And many, many, many turn to Christ. Now, here's what's going to happen in the last few remaining years that we have. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is so great, will be so great, that people will understand it is God. They will know. There's not going to be any doubt. There's going to be signs and wonders. And in the Bible, it's called the letter rain. We had the first rains at Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit came down. The power of the Holy Spirit started moving. We have to understand how it works. I wish I could give you scripture that simply say this is how it's going to happen. But the Bible doesn't operate that way. God wants us to study it so he can give us the information as we search for it and dig for it. And once it's settled into our spirit, we start to understand. As it was in the days of David, King David, I'll explain to you how the harvest went. In those days, they had the early rains. And then they planted. They planted the seed. And then they had a drought-like condition till the latter rains. Of course, there were rains in between to keep the whole thing going a little bit. But it was mostly drought-like conditions like we've seen for the last 2,000 years. The church has been in drought-like conditions, but we've also seen incredible and mighty outpourings of the Holy Spirit, great revivals throughout history. But now we're coming to the end where the plant that we planted is already starting to head. Now will come the latter rains. And that's when the Israelites brought in a bountiful crop. The latter rains came just before the heading of the grain, and unbelievable crops it produced. And this is what God is saying right now. I will release the latter rains. And I've listened to prophets and teachers, and they claim, it's not me claiming it, but they claim, and I agree with them. I should say, I agree with them. We will see 1 billion souls come to the Lord Jesus Christ within the next 10 years. And I believe this harvest will go all the way into the tribulation. Hallelujah. God is going to do an incredible work. And when that last person, Perry F. Rockwood used to teach on that, when that last person comes to Christ, that's when the salt of the earth is removed, the church of Christ has been fulfilled, and we then go to heaven. And that's when all hell breaks loose here on this earth. So it says we are going to experience that incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I myself have experienced these things in quite a few ways. But I want to see prophecy hitting the main people, the lay people, not only the preachers and those who are trying to dig into the word on how to do it, but God is going to show people what's in store for us, how he loves us, and he will not only do it through preaching, and I hope you have faith enough to believe it. There will be signs and wonders and miracles, and God is going to prove himself through that. For those of you who don't believe in signs and wonders and miracles, well, you'll better start believing it, because you'll be getting used to it very, very shortly. Hallelujah. And James, in James chapter 5 and verse 7, there's a question, and what is taking so long anyway? We've been praying for this for the last 30, 40 years. The Apostle Paul has been praying for it, and he says, get ready, Jesus is coming back. We're going to have a big harvest. What is taking so long? I'll tell you what it is. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Oh, that's a hard one. Be patient. Patience is one of the worst things for me. I want it now. If I want a cup of coffee, it has to be instant coffee. If I have a sandwich, it has to be in the microwave, never mind under the oven to warm up. I want it now, now, and now. So, but I'm going to wait for God, because that's what he commands me to do. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience. I guess that's why I'm not a good farmer. I haven't got patience to wait for stuff. So the farmer has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rains. So the early rains came, and now the latter rains will come. God has patience. He sent the early rain, and now he's going to send the latter rains. They've been sent already. They're starting. It says, be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Hallelujah. I believe when I look into the future, knowing that this globalist stuff and this Chinese stuff is going to be pushed back, I am believing, already it's in my spirit, for an incredible abundance of people coming to Christ, and even wealth for the North American continent. They will preach the gospel throughout the world. technology has already given us the ability to reach every person on the planet. We're involved in this. For those of you who want to finance this ministry, hey, you're welcome. Hallelujah. We can readily take that money and bring it in to where it's going to be used for the furthering of the kingdom and for bringing in that harvest. There's many, many people watching us through the airway, through the internet. So God is telling us He will bring that awesome harvest in. So let's be patient, and let's wait for the Lord to do this. And what do we do in the meantime? I like this as a closing out message for all of us. It's not something that God tells you to do. He just gives you an idea. It tells us in James chapter 5 in verse 7, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he's just another man like we were. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. What is God trying to tell us with this? He's telling us, you have the same authority as Elias. You have the same ability as he has. You start decreeing things. You start seeking the face of God, what He wants to do, and guess what? Things will start to happen according to how you decree them. God is telling us here, Elias was the same person we are. We need to take an example. This wasn't just written, oh, here's a nice little story. It's written for us to take a hint. You can do the same thing. If we got bad weather coming, we pray against it. If we see stuff like that, what's happening going on in the States, we can pray and ask the Lord to stop this. If we see our own prime minister going crazy, we can ask God to take him out of the picture. If we see our own premier going crazy, we can also ask God to maybe show him a little bit of grace of God first before he kicks him out, because that guy's getting from bad to worse. So God wants us to understand He gives us the power, and we need to put it into practice. There's another thing I want to tell you. I read on the internet something interesting. When the war broke out between the British and America, when America became a sovereign nation, guess where they met to discuss and to make plans? They did it in pubs, they did it in restaurants, and they did it in churches. Guess what's being closed down today? The pubs, the restaurants, and the churches. Do they have the same thing in mind for us, to lock us down for keeps? Well, we have the internet today. We don't need churches. We don't need pubs. We don't need restaurants. We can talk to one another and tell each other what's going on. So God has provided for us a weapon. We need to use it to encourage and to explain what's going on. So for those of you who are not born again by the Spirit of God, if you're scared, I don't blame you, because what is happening is even texting the strongest Christian today. You need to turn to Christ so that you can find that inner peace that passes all understanding. And not only will you have that inner peace, you will have eternal life that will give you joy for the rest of eternity. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.